Hey everyone, on today's podcast, we discuss the differences between flexibility, mobility, and how important it is for dancers to have a great blend of both. As I got older, I started learning more about these topics and how important it was to help me with all of my dance movements on stage. I always wondered why my hips were so tight and why most times when I try to do a certain movement, it would feel extremely difficult to get into. I was so tight in many areas, but understanding how to mobilize and stretch properly helped me in all areas of dancing, such as my cuts, front clicks, and kickouts. So for all you dancers out there, listen up as we go through in great detail the differences between flexibility, mobility, and stretching.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Ask Reach Your Height Show episode 10. And on today's show, we're going to discuss mobility, flexibility, and stretching.
My name is Lauren Early and I am a former six-time World Irish Dance Champion who is now devoted to helping every dancer achieve big dreams of their own. On each episode, we will bring you the best questions to help you discover and unlock your full potential so that you can benefit in every possible way. Thank you for listening and I hope you enjoy the show.
Okay guys, so welcome back to the show and podcast. On today's show, we're going to discuss a little bit more detail around the topics of mobility, flexibility, and stretching. Now, for those of you who will be following along on Facebook and Instagram, you will have seen that we put out a post midweek around two dancers that were doing a front click. And we kind of demonstrated the mobility differences between a dancer who has and can complete a perfect front click compared to a dancer who would be very inhibited in terms of hip mobility, and therefore their front click looked as such on the photo. So we had great feedback coming back from the post. People really enjoyed it and it opened their eyes and they could kind of categorize where they fail. And it just resonated with a lot of people. But of course, off the back of that, you then get more questions and people kind of realize that they may look like that person in the photo. And so they want to know a little bit more. So that's why we based the show around that today. And we can hopefully then go into a little bit more detail for those guys who actually may fall into that category and want to know how to improve it. And also just to clear up some of the confusion around, well, what is mobility? What is flexibility? When should we stretch? Should we not stretch? And all those sorts of things. So we have a question. One of the questions that came off the back of the post was from a girl called Claire. And Claire basically asked, "Hi Lauren, I've seen your post on mobility for the front clicks. And I was wondering if you can tell me what mobility is. Is it just the same thing as flexibility and stretching? Please help me out. Thanks so much." Okay, Claire. So let's kind of first of all distinguish the difference between mobility and flexibility. Now this comes at a really good time. One of the reasons why we did put the post out midweek was because that exact photo is part of the content that we're going through with the Academy dancers on week 13. And some of the dancers are now approaching that week that were first on the Academy. And so they are going to be going through this in a little bit more detail. So it's kind of a good time to go through this. But let's discuss what mobility and flexibility is. Now we mentioned this a little bit on the post, but basically mobility is the range of motion in a joint, okay? So it's basically how much range of motion can that joint actually give you, okay? So if you imagine then like the hip would be a ball and socket joint, how much range of motion do you have in the hip compared to what you should have? Now obviously through things like how we sit all day, how if you're doing a certain sport that involves using a certain direction over other directions, you're going to start favoring different angles. And so the joint can stiffen up or be stronger in a certain plane of motion rather than the other. So basically when we talk about mobility, first and foremost, it's just the mobility of a joint, okay? Now, when we talk about flexibility is a term that describes the length of a muscle or muscle tissue, okay? So essentially how long is the muscle? How flexible is your hamstring? And then mobility is how mobile is your joint, such as your shoulder joint, your hip joint, or whatever it might be. So we can categorize the two both in that. Now, if we look at mobility, first of all, like I said, mobility is going to be the point where you actually want to regain full range of motion in your joints. Now, you cannot to regain your mobility, mobility requires motion, right? So you cannot regain mobility if you're static stretching, because mobility requires motion. It's movement in a sense. So when we're actually looking at mobility and how it can restrict dancers, well, first of all, you're all dancing, so you're all creating movement, okay? Which means a lot of your restrictions are going to be coming through from a mobility perspective. Now, flexibility is included in mobility. It's one of, mobility is like an umbrella term that includes flexibility, but it also includes strength, stability, tendons, and lots of other things. Now, if you're solely just working on the flexibility aspect, you're completely leaving off the ability to use your hips to the full degree that you actually could do. Now, if you look at a dancer, let's look at a sprinter, for example. The mobility that a sprinter would require is going to be a lot less than a dancer, because a sprinter is going to be running in a straight line, okay? They still require to be mobile and keep the joints healthy, but as a dancer, you're doing 360 degree movements. Your leg has to come up towards your head, your foot has to come towards your hip, so there's a lot more range of motion that you require out of your hips than someone like a sprinter or a marathon runner, okay? Now, if you're struggling, or if you want to be able to execute the perfect dance movements on stage, and I'm speaking purely here from a dance technique perspective. Now, you'll always hear me talk about dance technique and dance performance, and in a sense, they're two completely different things, or dance fitness, because you can be a really good technical dancer and do clean cut movements. You just can't last to the end of a dance. You just have no power, speed, or sharpness. But you may be able to know the movements, and you may be able to keep in time, and you may be able to do them a full range, okay? The flip side of that is when we look at actual dance performance or dance fitness, we're actually looking at being able to take your dancing skills and execute them at a higher pace for the whole way through the dance. So if you look purely from a dance skills perspective, in order for you to be able to get into the full range of motion, one of the first things a dancer has to do is they must learn the steps, okay? So anybody starting off at any sport, they must pick up the movement patterns required by that sport. So as a dancer, you must learn the steps. But when you're learning the steps, you're going through them at a reduced pace, and you're going through them at a reduced range of motion. You're walking through them, you may be hopping through them, you're doing them slowly, but it's nowhere near what's going to be required of you on stage. And so you're not needing that full range of motion when you're learning your steps. But when you know your steps, you've learned your time, and you're not a beginner anymore and so on, all of a sudden the requirement for you to be able to go through things at full range of motion increases. Now, what you also have to remember then is a lot of dancers are still growing in height, so their mobility is going to be restricted, their joints are still trying to stabilize themselves, and there's a whole host of things going on. So as a dancer, one of the most important things that you do when you're learning your steps is also to be working on mobility, because this means that as you get stronger, as you get taller, as you grow, and as you pick up new steps, you're still able to keep the range of motion required in the joints that you were given from birth. Now, if you imagine, for example, how I'm sitting at the moment, so if I'm sitting hunched over a chair, or I'm sitting driving to class, or I'm on my phone, or I'm in school all day, whatever it might be, or I'm carrying a school bag all day, we adopt this posture where we're generally internally rotated, the front of the hips are really, really tight, we're in a rounded position all day, and so we go into class and we try to do the opposite of that. Now, if I'm just a member of the general public, that's not going to be a big issue that I have restricted shoulder mobility because I'm so tight, I have restricted hip mobility because I'm not needing a great range of movement to walk home and to work every day, right? But let's say all of a sudden I want to become a swimmer and start taking up backstroke. All of a sudden that's going to be an issue in my mobility because I've sat in a rounded position all day, my hips are tight and my shoulders are really, really forward. So how I'm going to be able to get my arm behind my head is going to be very, very difficult. Now, the same rules apply for dancing then, okay, is that the mobility that you have will get you away with daily life, but when you start adding in movements where you got to get your foot above your head, your foot to your hip for cuts and so on, your demand for mobility increases, okay? Now, what you have to think about is when you're actually then working on mobility, you got to have movement to do that, because what you got to think about when you're on stage, you need to go into a movement and come out of that movement without using any other body part. Now, one of the biggest issues we see with dancers mistaking mobility for flexibility is that when you're doing a static stretch, something like, if we take, for example, something like the splits, okay? We see lots and lots of dancers trying to do the splits in class, and it's kind of came about where dancers feel it's an achievement to be able to do the splits. But the issue with those sorts of things is that you're doing the splits, So what is actually getting you into that deep position? So you're in a splits position, your body weight is pushing you down, okay? So you're able to force the legs open, your body weight slides you down, one leg goes one way, the other leg goes the other way, and you get into the deep position. Now then, think about this, what actually gets you back out of that position again? It's not your legs, right? Because most people will go into a deep position, they realize they're so deep in the splits, and the only way that they can get out of that position is to roll over and use their arms to get out of it. So essentially, you've just put yourself in a position where your legs can no longer control it, and so you must use another body part to get out, which means that that range of motion that you just created isn't usable because your legs can't get you back out of it. So your body has to move. So there's an issue that we have is that every range of movement that you go into on stage, you must use the same muscle group to get out of it. So if I want to use my leg to get above my head, I'm going to use my quadriceps and my hips to drag it up. But then the opposite muscles in the leg must also drag it back down, which is going to be my hamstrings and glutes. Now, if you're doing stretches that are requiring that you're using external force or you're getting into deep, deep positions that you can't control, it's not very functional or athletic for your athletic movements on stage because you're not in control of that range of motion and you're using your arms and your hands to get out of positions that are just too deep. Now, you need to make sure that the muscles that are contracting to pull you into the stretch are also contracting to pull you out of the stretch. And this is something that Lauren demonstrated in her seated splits video maybe 1 or 2 weeks ago, where she was doing a seated split. She was pulling herself into the split position, but she was also using the same muscle groups to pull herself back out of the split position. And this means that the legs and the lower body is engaged the whole time, okay? So if we go back to what I was saying about the swimmer and the overhead stretch, your body will always try to give you the range of motion that you require, okay? So if your body knows, okay, I need to get my leg above my head, it's still going to always try to give you that range of motion to get above your head. It's just going to be at the expense of something else, which again is what we spoke about in the post. So like we said in the post, if one leg's coming up on a front click, the opposite leg must remain back and straight. So the goal of a front click is not to get your leg above your head or up to your head. The goal of a front click is to get your leg up to your head whilst the rest of the body remains untouched or remains completely still and upright. So that is actually the goal of a front click. And that's the goal of all your dance positions, is that you must be able to move your leg in this position or that position while the body remains completely solid and still. So it's not you must get your leg above your head at all costs. And so there's always going to be a trade-off. So if you're limited in mobility, your body is going to realize, okay, you need to get up right up to the head, but unfortunately we can only raise it to hip height. So if in order for me to get higher, which is what you're asking me to do, I either need to bend my knee, I either need to lean forward, or my back leg's going to bend and my hips are going to sink because it's too much of a stretch. And so the body compensates and gets the range of movement from somewhere else, the range of motion from somewhere else in the body to allow your leg to get higher. Okay, so in a sense, your body's trying to help you out. You just need to make sure that nothing else moves. Which brings me back to the point whenever you're doing your other types of stretching is that you need to be able to get that leg above the head without anything else moving or helping you out. So again, if we refer back to the splits position, you're getting into the splits position, but you're assisting yourself with your arms and your shoulders and everything else. Now you go on stage and you want your arms and your shoulders and everything to stay still. So you must be able to get into that range of movement solely through using the legs and the hips and nothing else happening, okay? So I hope that makes sense. So guys, that's essentially what mobility is, range of motion in the joint. We need to improve it through motion. And so we need to use movements that are actually going to increase the muscle length and increase the mobility in the joint whilst not recruiting any other muscles that we don't want to use, okay? So if we then move on to flexibility, obviously I said flexibility is the length of a muscle tissue. There's two different types with many different types of flexibility, but they'll come into two different categories. You can have static stretching or you can have dynamic stretching. Now I'm sure for most of you guys listening or watching, you'll all have heard of static stretching and dynamic stretching because it's generally taught in schools and so on. But how is it relevant to dancers? Static stretching is one of these things where it's a very good tool if you need to improve your mobility or improve your flexibility. But one of the issues we see with static stretching is that it's always done pre-competition or pre-class or pre-training. Now static stretching, let's say, for example, you have an issue with flexibility. So generally, your flexibility is very, very poor, okay? When you turn up to a competition or turn up to class, the goal of before class or before competition is not to improve your daily level of flexibility. If you have issues with flexibility, that must be worked on way before the competition comes around or before class comes around. The aim of flexibility before class is just to regain any flexibility that has been lost maybe via your drive to class, maybe via your sleeping, via your tightness from the day before training. So you may have a level of flexibility that is around here, but if you're, I'm doing it on video and people are going to be listening on podcast. If you have a current, your current level of flexibility, and then you sit and you drive the class for, you might drive the competition for 5 hours or whatever. The goal when you get out of that car is just to regain, get rid of the tightness that that journey created and get back to the level of flexibility that you generally have. The goal is not to try and improve it more. That is a goal, completely separate goal that you must be worked on way before that. Because if you're trying to actually improve your long-term flexibility before you train, there's a lot of downsides and issues that come with that. Essentially, what you're doing when you're static stretching is you're turning off the muscle. And what that really means is you're taking a muscle beyond its current range of motion. And when you do that, you temporarily lose a little bit of strength, power, and speed because the muscle can't, a loose muscle cannot fire. So you want to be on stage and you want to be firing sharp and rapidly and powerful. And so what you're doing is you're taking a muscle beyond its current range of motion somewhere it's never been before, and you're doing this right before you go on stage. Now, the problem with that is the muscle's now going to be loose, so it's not going to fire rapidly and sharp. If you look at a sprinter or someone that's in a speed-based sport, they're generally very compact and powerful, okay? They will have a good deal of flexibility, but they also have a really good deal of tightness so that they can be powerful and sharp. And their mobility and flexibility is worked on in training every single day, long before competition time comes. So don't mistake static stretching as a time, as a tool that you use when you're actually warming up. The goal is just to get mobile, get loose. Other issues you have with static stretching is that you're normally seated or hunched in a seated position, which means that your heart rate's low, there's no blood flow, there's no circulation going, and the joints are still tight. Now, when you're warming up, you need the heart rate to be high, you need the joints to be mobile, and you also need adrenaline to be produced and the nervous system to fire up. Static stretching doesn't achieve any of that, okay? So keep it separated. Static stretching is one of those ones that everybody will refer to straight away when you mention mobility or stretching. It is good, but it just needs to be done away from class. If your general level of flexibility is too tight, it needs to be worked on separately, okay? And if you're turning up the competition or class, the goal is just to get loose, get mobile, and therefore you can use mobility exercises, or, which brings me on to the second type of stretching, which is going to be dynamic stretching, okay? So the two types of stretching we'll refer to are static stretching and dynamic stretching. Now, dynamic stretching is basically the opposite of static. So dynamic, again, it's movement, right? So you're basically stretching with movement. Now, the whole aim of dynamic stretching is that it replicates the movement patterns that are about to come, okay? So if you ever watch a hurdler before they would do a competition, the type of movements that they're doing pre-competition are exactly what's going to happen when that gun goes. In a sense, they're doing all of their hurdle dynamic mobility drills because that's how they need their legs and the muscles to fire when the race comes. Now, dancing will be exactly the same. So dynamic movements are made up of, initially they can be made up of just normal movements, but then as you get closer to training or competition, they're made up of actual dancing movements. For example, if you imagine one of the most famous stretches that people will imagine in their head when they think of a static stretch is going to be someone seated on the ground stretching their hamstring, okay? So that hamstring's being stretched, they're seated on the ground, but nothing else is going on. Now, you could take that stretch, you could stand up with it, and you will all know the stretch where you're standing. You put one foot in front of the other, you slide your hands down the back of your leg, you pause for 1 second, then you stand back up, you step forward and do the same on the other leg. It's still a hamstring stretch, you're just moving with it, okay? So now you've turned a static hamstring stretch into a dynamic hamstring stretch, and the body is warm, you're moving and you're firing up the muscle fibers at the same time, okay? So I know when most people are tight before competition, they feel the need to have that, you know, that enormous loose feeling, and that can be achieved through dynamic stretching only. Now, that said, if you still feel the need to static stretch beforehand, you must follow it up with some dynamic movements because it will shut off the nervous system, it will slow everything down, and whilst you may be loose, your body's not going to be ready and active to fire, which is fine if you're running a marathon and you've got 2 hours, but if you've only got 60 to 90 seconds on stage, that nervous system needs to be primed and fired up, ready to go, and you just don't achieve that through static stretching. So if you do static stretching before a competition or class, it must be the very first thing that's done. And after that, it must be followed up with dynamic-based movements. Like you can do walking hamstring, you can do walking front clicks where you're walking, you're raising your leg, you're reaching out to touch your toe. You're just preparing your body for what's about to come. That way then when you step on stage, your body knows exactly what's happening. The muscles are already used in that position. The mobility you already have to get into those positions, and everything works a lot better, okay? So that's kind of the differences between mobility and flexibility and the two different types of flexibility. Now, you also have an issue then with people overstretching, okay? And one of the things I discussed there was seated splits. There's always going to be a level of flexibility that you require for every sport. And not everybody wants to hear, but it's always going to be determined by the individual. Everybody wants a one-word answer that is so easy to take that information and go away and use it for a very, very simple one-line answer. Now, the problem with that is it's just not the case. Everybody's different, okay? I've met dancers who can't raise their leg 10 degrees off the ground and look as if their back's going to break because they're that unmobile. And then I've also met dancers that are extremely loose and they're hypermobile, okay? And they're just too loose. So does everybody need to stretch? Absolutely not, okay? Because it can actually then become a little bit dangerous at the same time. Now, one of the other things you have to think about is whenever dancers cannot produce an awful lot of speed or power, a tight muscle is a strong muscle. One thing you must understand about muscle tissue is a tight muscle is a strong muscle because it's shortened and it's tight, it's compact, and it's explosive. Now, what you can then do when you're overstretching is you just take away the ability for that muscle to contract powerfully and sharp. So one of the things we do in our workshops is that we'll get a dancer to demonstrate if they can do the splits, and you'll always have someone in the crowd that is able to do the splits. So we bring them up, they're able to demonstrate the splits, and they can sit there quite comfortably. So then what we do is, okay, we'll ask them to get out of the position first, and they'll use their hands, and we'll discuss exactly what I just said. But the second thing I'll get them to do is lie on their back. Now, when we get them to lie on their back completely straight, so it mimics a standing upright position on stage, only they're lying flat on their back, I'll then get them to raise one leg up to their face as if they're doing a front click. They can bring their foot right to their head and still just lie completely straight on that ground as if they're in an upright position if they were standing. So their foot's right at their head and it's there with ease. There's no issues getting that leg. Now they can even move their hand and their leg still stays right back at their head. Now that's all well and good that you can get your leg up that high. But if your leg can stay there and doesn't come firing back down again, then the muscle is too loose. So the next question I'll ask them, or I'll actually just tell them, and I'll say, okay, I can guarantee that one of your biggest issues is that you cannot generate any power on stage, and you can do a front click, but it's so slow on the way back down. And always, always 100%, they'll agree with me. Because the issue is they've just stretched and overstretched that hamstring. They're too mobile, they're too flexible. There's zero strength left in the hamstring, there's zero strength left in the muscles around. So they can get their leg above their head, but it's so floaty and it comes down so slow because there's no snapback, okay? You imagine if you have an elastic band, then we'll use this and we discuss this in the academy and on our workshops. If you have an elastic band and you stretch the elastic band and you let go, it's gonna ping back and it's gonna be very, very sharp and very, very powerful, okay? So it has a lot of elastic strength. Now, if I hold that elastic band and I continually overstretch it over a period of days, months, weeks, years, all of a sudden that elastic band's gonna hang like spaghetti, okay? It's still gonna be able to get to the length you need it, but it's gonna come back very, very slow. In fact, it might not even come back, it's gonna be very loose. A muscle is exactly the same, okay? A muscle contains a lot of elastic strength and elastic power. Now, what happens is if you continually overstretch that muscle, you're losing and taking away the power and the ability for it to contract hard and fast. So therefore, you can get into that position easily, but you're just coming out of it again very, very slow. Okay, so I'm trying to show you the different extremes of what we have here. You have people that are so, so tight and immobile and inflexible that they can't even raise their leg 10 degrees off the ground. You also have the other crowd of dancers that are so flexible and all they do is stretch, 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 stretch. They can get into any position you want on stage. It's just not powerful, just not sharp. Everything's too floaty and they can't generate any speed or power, okay? And then you have this bunch in the middle that don't really understand what they should be doing in terms of how much flexibility and so on. Everybody needs to be flexible. Everybody needs to be fit, but it's just what is relevant to an Aries dancer, yeah? So the problem is before we started the academy, there was nothing specific for dancers. You know you need to be flexible, you know you need to be fit. What different types of fitness do you need as a dancer? What different types of flexibility and mobility now do you need as a dancer, and how much of it? For sure, you need to be able to get that leg up to your head, but the second I let go of that foot, it should come pinging back down. Okay. One of the exercises that we done on Facebook and YouTube a few months ago, and it's in phase one of the academy, was the hamstring curl. So you have a band above your head and you're pulling the leg back down in the opposite direction of a front click. And this is the strength and the speed at which it comes down. And that's perfect for any dancer that is too flexible, because the issue is they've overstretched it. So if you're too flexible, then you don't need any flexibility. You actually just need to get strong, okay? Because getting stronger will tighten up the muscle. If you're not flexible, then you need to get flexible, okay? But it's not the same rule applies for everybody. It's not 50 people in a class or 50 people wherever, and everybody needs to stretch exactly the same, because you're gonna have different aspects of flexibility for different people, okay? Now, one of the other things you're gonna have is then hypermobile and hyperflexible dancers. So I've seen this a lot of times before. Again, there's always two or three girls at a workshop that are always hypermobile and hyperflexible, in that they'll be in a plank position or a press-up position or whatever it might be, and their elbows look like they're about to pop because they're double-jointed. So anybody who's hypermobile and hyperflexible, you're gonna struggle a lot to be able to generate any speed or power on stage. And bear in mind, you're in a speed-based sport, so it's not something that you can get away with. You need to get strong and you need to get sharp. You need to get powerful, okay? That's just the way it has to be. You're choosing to be in a speed-based sport that's lasting for 60 to 90 seconds. And those are the requirements that are being asked of you on stage. So anybody in that category, you got to be very, very careful on your joints, because these are the types of people that are going to dislocate things very easily, or joints are going to pop out very easily. So in that instance, those types of people aren't going to stretch at all, but they need to strengthen the muscles around the joint so that the joint doesn't lock on the joint anymore and the muscles are controlling how far that range of motion can go. And they're basically the opposite of people that need to work on mobility, okay? And the last thing really, guys, you need to understand is that the body is very, very smart. And I always say this, I've said this so many times in the academy, is that your body doesn't know that you're going on stage to dance. All it really cares about is protecting you against survival and injury. Okay. So the body is much smarter than we will ever be. And so there's two general reasons why you're going to be tight. So one of the reasons you're going to be tight is because you use that muscle a lot. So in the case of a dancer, we know that your calves are going to be very tight. We know that your quadriceps and your hips are going to be very tight, your hip flexors at the front. And we generally know that people's shoulders are really, really tight at the front because of how we sit. So those four areas we can pretty much always say that people are going to be very tight in. And the reasons that they're tight is because they're used all the time, okay? So that's fine. We know why they're tight. But there's also another reason why things can be tight. And a lot of the times people are tight because they're weak. And what the body will do is it will try to create tightness somewhere to protect against injury and add stability to the body. Now, let me give you an example. We work with a lot of dancers with extremely tight hamstrings. One of the issues that we have with hamstrings is that the first thing I'll do when we check hamstrings is I'll check how strong that dancer is in the hips. So are they moving side to side? Like, for example, you can see when someone's trying to do cuts. They're doing cuts and their hips are rocking completely side to side. Their body's moving side to side. And this, again, it refers back to what I'm talking about the mobility, is that when you're doing a cut and you want that foot coming up your hip, it may only be able to get to halfway or 45 degrees. You want it at 90 degrees. And so that extra 45 degrees will come simply from you leaning to the side. It gives the illusion that the foot's coming higher, but it's only because you're leaning and you're rocking. And that's the only reason why people will do that on stage. They'll lean and they'll rock because it creates momentum and it assists in them getting that foot higher to the hip. Now, in essence, you just need to work on your mobility. So you need to work on the external rotation of the leg. You need to make sure that foot can come up as high as your hip without your body moving, which again goes back to you being able to do mobility and flexibility without using your arms or your upper body to get into these positions and get out of these positions. That way, when you regain that mobility in the hip and you can do 90 degree movements in the hip, you'll go back on stage, you can do cuts while your body stays in a completely straight upright line. It doesn't have to lean side to side to create momentum and lean in so that it looks like that foot's higher, okay? So one of the issues then with tight hamstrings is we are gonna firstly assess the dancer's strength in the hips. And the reason why we do that is because when I say hips, we're gonna look at hamstrings and glutes and external rotations and all the little stabilizing muscles in the hips that support that hip girdle itself. Now, 9 times out of 10 when we do this, what we find is that the muscles surrounding the hip, apart from the hip flexors at the front, everything else around the posterior or the back of the hips are always generally weak. Now you imagine this, one of the roads of the hip girdle is to protect the spine, so the spine's gonna stabilize on the hip. Now, if you're landing really, really heavy and your hips are dropping all the time, every time you land off a jump, your hips are gonna sink because you cannot absorb the force in the hips. Your hips can't stay high. So how many times do we have people asking us how to get up on your toes? This is one of the issues why. Because your hips are dropping, which means the knees drop, the heels drop, and all of a sudden everything's dropped on the ground. So we essentially need to get those hips up. Now, if you got weak hips, you're more susceptible to injury because you got more force. If the hips can't absorb it, the force comes down to the knee, comes down to the ankle, and so on. Now, one of the issues there is that it's just more impact and you're going to have more injury and your body wants to protect against that. So if you have the hips, the next thing down beneath the hips is going to be the hamstrings. So what the body will do is it will tighten up those hamstrings really, really tight. And all of a sudden, now you've got two pillars that those hips can sit upon and can rest upon. Your knees are now more protected, your shins are now more protected, and your ankles are now more protected because the hamstrings are taking the load from what they're doing the job of what the hips should be doing, okay? So in this instance, when these dancers are stretching their hamstrings so much, they just can't seem to be able to improve their flexibility in their hamstring. No matter how long they stretch their hamstrings for, they just won't improve. And that's generally when they come to us. So they'll have came to us after a period of 4, 5, or 6 months of trying to improve their hamstring flexibility and it just won't work. No matter how much you try to improve that flexibility, if your body is tight in order to protect you against something, it will just keep on tightening it up. It won't let you take that away because guess what happens when you take away the tightness is that you're now loose and unstable and now you're back to being at more risk of injury. So one of the massive reasons why your body will tighten up places, especially the hamstrings, is because everything above it is weak, so it needs to support everything below it. So the best way for me to stretch someone's hamstrings or make them more flexible is to get them strong up top. Because if I can get their glutes strong and their lower back strong and their upper back strong and their core strong, all of a sudden that torso is being held up, which means the hamstrings do not need to be tight because they only need to do one job. They don't need to do the job for support anymore. They can just do their normal job of what they need to do. So after we go through a period of strengthening, core, glutes, upper back, middle back, lower back, that dancer is able to hold themselves better and carry themselves better, which means that their hamstrings generally end up looser as a result of this. So I've had so many dancers come through. They've worked on their flexibility for 4, 5, or 6 months. They haven't seen any improvement in their hamstrings. We then take away that, but we work on strengthening the core and their glutes for four to five or six weeks. And generally, when we do a sit and reach test, their hamstrings are so much more flexible, 3 or 4 inches, because they don't need to be tight anymore. And we haven't even worked on hamstring flexibility, okay? So I hope that all makes sense. Claire, I hope that answers your question to some degree, and I hope it wasn't in too much detail. You know me, when I get started, I just love to fire it as much as I can. But one of the most important things that I want to leave you all with, guys, and again, something that I'm always preaching to dancers is that it sounds so confusing about everything I just said, and maybe you're sitting thinking, okay, that makes sense. Maybe you're thinking, okay, it makes sense, but what do we do now? In essence, you cannot go wrong if you strengthen where you're weak and stretch where you're tight, okay? It's the same with foam rolling, it's the same with stretching, static stretching, whatever it might be. You only need to stretch the areas that you're tight. If you're not tight, it doesn't need to be stretched, okay? And if you do it at the same time as what you're strengthening the weak parts, in the case of then those hamstrings, there are areas that are tight because they're trying to add support. By you strengthening everywhere that you're weak, you're adding the support that's missing, which means those other areas are gonna get loose as a result. Which is why in phase one of the academy and always what we talk about in our workshops is you need to strength train to regain structural balance, okay? Strengthen up all the areas that you're not using in class, strengthen up all the areas that you're not using on a daily basis by sitting hunched over, and all of a sudden the body becomes more balanced. And that word balanced is just essentially that all the muscle groups are of equal strength or close to equal strength, which means they're not relying on each other for support. Every muscle group is doing its job and things aren't tight because they're trying to help other things. So guys, get mobile. Make sure that all your movements that you're doing are working on those tight hips so that you can get into all those positions on stage comfortably without having to move or be assisted by your upper body or leaning forward or whatever it might be. Work on your static stretching outside of class After class is a really good time because the muscle tissue is warm, so it's you can be able to get it further. Or on rest days, work on dynamic movements before training, before class, before competition. And make sure then outside of that, for other areas that aren't seem to improve, and just make sure that you get strong in the areas that you're weak, and you will find that your body becomes so much more balanced. And as a result of this, you become a much better dancer. Guys, I hope that helps, and I will see you back here for episode 11.